the prophetic word that the Lord gave me, but to you. So if you just close your eyes, let's just begin to engage and just go deeply into the Lord tonight. Whoa, we're family. Every one of us is here because we are hungry for more of Jesus, for more encounter, for more reality, for more freedom. And I don't want any one of us to go away this evening without having received something of what the Lord is promising us. This is a holy gathering of a remnant of his precious holy bride, his precious holy people. I'm just going to really welcome Holy Spirit and then read his heart invitation to all of us. So just really engage your hearts. Just feel completely at home, feel completely free. This place is full of love. We are family forever. There are desperate needs in this room, and Jesus wants to come tonight. He's called this gathering. We haven't arranged another meeting. So from this point, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. We give you full freedom. We come and sit at your feet, and we ask that you will take over this meeting. Whoa. We welcome the great cloud of witnesses. We welcome the angels. We welcome the Godhead. We welcome heaven in this place. We abandon ourselves to you. We lay ourselves down at your feet, and we just say, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Come and take our little lives, the offering of our heart that we bring to you this evening, Jesus, and speak. We are listening, Jesus. We are listening. We open ourselves wide to you. Everything that we are up until this point, all the pressures that are going on in our lives, all the pain that people are in, everything that's going on, the weight, the warfare, everything, Lord, we just bring it to you now, and we put it at the foot of the cross. And we give you this time, and we give you the rest of our lives going forward. We give you this time now as a first fruit. Sanctify the time of our lives, Lord. Take us forward into the new that you're promising now, that you're speaking to so many of us about, that we're hardly daring to believe that you're actually beginning to speak to us about an awakening, about you moving, about you actually coming to cause us to arise and to shine and to awaken and to know your heart and to carry your heart and to be transformed and to live in your presence. And to be conduits of your love and to see your kingdom come and to operate in government and all the promises that we've carried for so many years, Lord. That you're actually saying it's time. Just really, really open your heart to Jesus now. He said to me, if you will prepare a place for me, I will come. Not just in our individual lives, which is holy and profound and incredible that we get to live our lives communing with Jesus, but he wants to come and rest on a people. And I felt his heart longing for us. He was reaching, I could feel it, for friendship with us. He wants to come and share the secrets of his heart, the deep things that are on his heart, with his bride, with his people. So this was the word that he gave me that's for us. He said, arise, my bride. Arise. Come away with me. I will melt even the hardest of hearts. I will give you hearts of flesh, hearts of love and passion in exchange for your broken, weary, damaged hearts. I will give you my heart. I will cause you to fall in love with me again. I will give you back your first love. I am coming as a consuming fire. You will know me. You will be awakened unto my love again. I'm coming to you as your bridegroom, as your servant king, to clothe you with tender care, to bring you up out of the wilderness, leaning on me, dependent on me. Everything that is within the heart of Jesus, he's given to us. He is our inheritance. He's our inheritance. And this invitation is for now. He said, those who are thirsty, come to me and drink and be refreshed. So Jesus, we just come to you. We come to you. We fix our gaze upon you. Holy Spirit, touch us now and empower us to worship the King in the manner in which he is worthy. Empower us now to abandon our hearts to the King. Just turn your hearts to him, turn your affection to him, even the tiny movements of our heart towards him. Move him, and he runs towards us. And he's running towards us tonight to hold us fully in his embrace, to heal and deliver and strengthen and transform. So, Lord, we just come. We come to worship you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Come and have your way, we give you this time.
We really do believe that tonight is a divine appointment, and that we're standing on the threshold in this nation of great days. Great days. The best is yet to come. And he has saved the best wine till last. Our time this evening has been called together by Guildford Prayer School and by the Bridal Company. And the Bridal Company is what it sounds like. It's a company of people, men and women, boys and girls, old and young, that Jesus is causing to awaken and to arise in this hour as his bride. He's preparing for himself a holy and a spotless bride, a powerful, a courageous bride. A bride that's clothed in righteousness, in humility, in purity, in power, full of the fruit of the Spirit. This is our time. He does call you his own, and each one of you that's come here this evening, you have been called here by appointment, because this is the beginning of a great move of God Not just this meeting, of course. Things going on all around the nation and the nations. But there's such a theme tonight of the faithfulness of God and a legacy. That the moves of God in the past are carried forward into the future if we will carry them. If we will carry them. Twenty years ago, I was in a meeting on a school field in Cobham. And John Wimber preached one of his final messages in this nation before the Lord took him home. And in there's a box of matches. And you are one of them. And at that time in your life, God dipped you into his fire and he sealed it in your spirit. I know that God is going to use you mightily in the days that are coming. He's going to take you like that match and strike you against the fire of his heart and the fire of his spirit. For a move of God that's coming. So you need to get ready. You need to get ready, Mark. I believe that this bridal company, we're all called to be part of it. It's not an organization. It's not something you can join. It's something that God calls you to. And I believe by faith that each one of you here tonight has been called. And I know that Liz has got a word burning in her heart, which is going to come up shortly, to release. You're going to decree the word. But I want to honour Guildford Prayer School. I feel there's such a need for us tonight to honour the ones that have gone before. And I know that Michael Marcel, you know more about that than anybody in this room. We are standing on the foundation laid by our forebears, and in the name of Jesus, we lay hold of the power that's in the root system. We lay hold of it. Whereas I was remembering that when the revival hit in Sunderland in 1907, and Smith Wigglesworth, he went, that's where he was baptized in the Spirit. At that church, the Anglican church, and sent, I don't even remember, sent whatever, who cares? But the word that's, they have a tablet that's on the fellowship hall where they had these revival meetings, the place where Smith Wigglesworth went to, and you can go to it today, and there's a tablet that they carved in stone and they set it in the wall, and it said, when the fire fell, it burned up all the debt. I speak that word into you in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the fire from Sunderland, that's the land of my birth, I lay hold of that birthright tonight in the name of Jesus. And we decree it into the financial system tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When the fire fell, that it burned up all the debt. God, let the fire from your altar begin to come into this financial system. In Jesus' name, we decree it. We decree that it will bow its knee. It will to the coming kingdom of God. So we lay hold of our heritage in the spirit. We lay hold of the fire. We lay hold of the power. We lay hold of everything that's in our generations that's come from God tonight, and we stand in it. We loose it in the spirit. We loose it over every situation in our family, in our businesses, over every work of the evil one that's come against us, even this week, to weaken us and to cause us to be bowed down and weighed down, to be discouraged, to feel defeated. We take the sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. We lift up the shield of faith against the flaming arrows of the evil one, and we stand in who we are. We are a holy royal bride. We are a royal priesthood. We are the sons of God. We know who we are. We know it, we know it, we know it. And Father, I pray, I wrap my arms in the Spirit around every situation tonight that has come against these precious ones here tonight. And we say, Jesus, release your power. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray this as your bride that is arising in this nation. We speak the power of that over the leaders. We speak the power of the blood of the Lamb over our Queen, over the government, over the Church of England. We decree that the best days for this nation are yet to be, and nothing can stand against it. Amen. Amen.
Just stay engaged, stay, keep your spirits engaged. Ha. I'm just going to speak from the spirits. I'm just going to keep my eyes closed for a sec and just stay really engaged, because when I'm speaking now, I want to decree it. I'm pushing it into each one of us and into the bride corporately in this nation. Like Julie just said, the bride of Christ, the mature bride, is coming forth, containing the stature of Christ, formed in us to do the greater works. Those that know their God, experience him intimately, those that know their God will do great works, the greater works. The Lord's been fashioning and forming us and bringing us forth in the likeness through the trials, through the difficulties, bringing us forth in the likeness of Jesus. He's creating such a deep container of character within us that his blessing, his anointing, his presence can rest on us. And we can safely steward the authority that's about to be released upon his people, that we can operate in true governmental authority. We can begin to really see things shift. We can really begin to see the fruit as we decree a thing. We will see it become established. I saw, just as we were finishing worship, I saw angels coming in the room and releasing all down at the front water jars, like the water jars that were at the wedding of Cana, and they were filled with the new wine, and the Lord was inviting us. So it was interesting when Judy got up and then said, the Lord saves the best till now. He saved the best till now. After I've released this word, I just invite you, I'll invite you again just to come down and respond. And let's just do business with the Lord, receive what he's offering tonight. Come and drink the new wine. Come and drink on the wine of his presence. Come and be refreshed. Come and get drunk. Come and be filled with him again. He's bringing us forth. So the encounter that I had, I just pray that you can really hear with your spirits what the Holy Spirit says to each one of you now. Jesus came in front of me, and I was very aware that I was I entered into an experience that he initiated, and I was as the corporate bride. And he spoke into my spirit very tenderly the name Much Afraid. Like the book, the classic book, Hinds Feet on High Places. And I knew that was a large proportion of many of us in the church, that there's been such a lot of fear remaining resident in our heart. And the Lord's been taking us out of that in stages. But he's coming now to fully remove that condition that we've been in. And as soon as he spoke this into me, He said there had been assigned to you two new companions, and two angels came forth. One was called Grace, and the other one was called Glory. One releases the supernatural empowerment to live a holy life, which obviously comes from God, and the other, the glory. It's the supernatural grace of God to enable us to live a holy life that brings us into the ability to steward the glory, the very presence of God. And then immediately I was taken, as of all of us, as the bride, into this dark place. It was like brambles and thick briar bushes, and it was horrendous, and it was dark, and there was a long wood, and I was fighting my way through it. And then I came to a clearing, and Jesus was standing in the clearing, and there was an altar. And I knew that I was to lay down on the altar, and as I did, I could see that there was a thorn in my heart, and it was representative of the brokenness of people's hearts, the pain, the inherited sin, the strongholds, the compromise, the abuse, the hard-heartedness, the damage. And Jesus came, and he began to just gently take out the thorn. And as he did, it's hard to describe in words what started to happen. I began to realize in my spirit that what was happening was that he was giving me a new heart. He was giving us corporately as the bride a new heart. And I, in that moment, I started to feel the holy fear of the Lord, the sobriety of the moment, the awe, the incredible privilege and honor and ecstasy all at the same time of actually being entrusted with the heart of the King, with the heart of Jesus. And it started to happen as he took the thorn out, this divine exchange. He took out my heart of stone and replaced it with his heart, began to replace it with his heart. And as he did, he handed me a scepter, a new scepter, representative of a new level of authority that he's desiring and will entrust to his people now. And then a cup, it looked like a little chalice of his blood. And he invited me to drink. And again, the holy fear of the Lord came on me. It was a holy moment, because in my spirit I knew that I was receiving an entrustment and an impartation of the very life of God. It's like another level. But there's a cost. It was the experience behind the scripture, where the scripture takes us into. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, the hope of glory. And it was such a holy moment of I surrendered, and I was hardly like I was in the experience for us, but my heart was going, I'm really receiving the heart of Christ. I'm really going to be able to not just intermittently and reach for and occasionally be filled with the Spirit and produce the fruit of his nature, but there's a divine exchange happening, and his bride is coming forth mature. She's coming out of fear. He's coming to us. He came as perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear and everything that has to do with torment. And the implications of that holy exchange, the awesome freedom that we can experience, the boldness, the power, the surety, the faith, the compassion, the miracles that flow through the compassion of Christ, that activate the realm of his kingdom coming on earth, the ability to feel as he feels, to see as he sees, to hear as he hears, to commune with Father as he communes with Father in uninterrupted union with the Godhead, to see from heaven to earth, to be filled with the stature of the living God. There's another measure that he's bringing us into, because he's entrusting us now. He's fashioning and forming us and bringing us forth as the counterpart of God, as it says in the book of Revelation, as the wife of the Lamb, as the counterpart of God, to partner with him, to know his heart, to feel as he feels, to move as he's moved, to be moved as he's moved, to operate in wisdom, to decree a thing and it shall be established, to stand on his word, to responsibly steward the entrustment of authority, because the compassion of Christ, the love of the King, dwells in us so fully that we are trustworthy, we are faithful, we are laid down lovers, we are humble before him, we are infused with him, the mind of Christ indwelling in us. And so I was scared as I took this cup, even though I was in the experience. I was crying, I was scared, I was overwhelmed, I was delighted, all at the same time. I wanted this with all my being. And yet the weaker part of me was going, what's the cost? And I said to the Lord, I don't know whether I can drink of your cup. I don't know whether I can fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. And then it was like, Lord, help me. I just said, help me. I surrender. It was like a real moment, a reality moment of, I don't even know how to describe it properly. It just blew away all religion. It blew away everything that's, I don't know how to describe it, I don't have full language. This is real. This is where he's taking us. This is the invitation. So in the end, out of love for him, because by his grace, not with full understanding, but knowing that he's faithful and trustworthy, and he is the way and the truth and life. And like Peter said, there is nowhere else to go. And even when we see in part and we don't have full understanding, we know that he is good, and that his, by his grace, every step of the way, he brings us through. And ultimately, our lives are eternal, and this is who we are. This is who we are. We are the bride of the living God. We are the counterpart of God. We are the government. We are the sons of the kingdom. And we are on this earth for such a time as this, and to do the greater works. And he's wanting to entrust us with much, because he wants injustice outed in the earth, and he wants a people brought forth, made whole. And so, as I took the cup and I began to drink, the impartation of his heart increased. And then suddenly in front of me, I saw this vile, evil king. And I don't know its identity. I don't know whether I was seeing Satan or whether I was seeing, it looked like a hierarchical king, a senior demonic king. And as I took the cup, this king started to rage in anger. And because I knew in my spirit, as I watched this thing, I knew that the bride that's coming forth now has overcome. She's defeated the enemy, because she has the heart of the king. She has the stature of Christ formed within her. She's been disrobed of fear. That was the other thing, that when Grace and Glory came, the new two escorts of the bride, they took off the old filthy garments of fear and doubt and unbelief and compromise, and just the pain, the garments that our hearts have been wearing that are not the nature of Jesus. They took off those garments and they placed over the bride beautiful, glorious, regal garments. She was clothed in humility, stature, humility, love, power, yielded to her king. There's a lot to do. There's a lot ahead. He's bringing us forth. He's awakening us. If we will press in now, if we will say yes to his invitation and posture ourselves at his feet, there's an he's giving us a new heart. He's giving us an entrustment of authority that I don't think any of us have seen yet. Maybe the few that we honor, that we've seen historically, like the Wesleys and the Wilberforces and the Catherine Coleman and all the other great cloud of witnesses that the Lord has anointed and raised up and are visible in history. Obviously, there are many, many, many that we don't know their names and we won't know them until we get to heaven that have been very hugely significant in the kingdom. But there's a corporate anointing, there's a corporate awakening, there's a corporate entrustment and clothing now of stature and authority and government that he's bringing to us. And fear has been an assignment from the enemy. I've had it attack me many times. It's a spirit. As we know, the Lord says very clearly in Scripture that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And fear is faith in the wrong kingdom, and it provides a landing place for, as we know, a lot of the realm of darkness. We've inherited it in our bloodlines, we've collected it through the experiences of our lives, and the Lord is now saying, I'm going to take that thorn out of your heart. And I am going to give you my heart. And he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God. And we are really, truly going to arise and shine and reveal the majesty and the splendor and the nature and the power and the authority and the compassion of the living God everywhere we go. And because he's fully resident within us, everywhere we go, the domain of the king is present. The realm of his presence is with us. And I've seen that demonic senior king, whether it was the enemy or whether it was one of his ruling spirits. I don't know. I wasn't shown his identity. But I saw that it was defeated. It was defeated. And obviously we know that the cross is the finished work. Jesus disarmed all principalities and powers, and now he's empowering us to receive that part of our inheritance, to be able to operate in a dominion authority. The authority that was given to Adam and Eve that they lost because of the deception of Satan. To steward, the dominion mandate, to steward and protect the earth. Jesus purchased back through his precious blood at the cross and gave it to his people, gave it to us. We are called to steward and protect the earth and to extend the rule of the kingdom through intimacy with Jesus. The authority that's coming flows out of oneness with him. One heart, one mind, one spirit. Ho. Wow. And so as I'm speaking this is his invitation to us now, and I'm speaking it over the bride corporately in Guildford and the nation. It's time to arise. It's time to be fully awakened unto love, to be healed for all the fear that has boundaries and provided a landing place for all forms, all manner of warfare, all the control, the abuse, the lies. You know, one of the scriptures the Lord's been speaking to me a lot is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The enemy's a legalist, as we know. So he will take the promises, the principles in scripture, as we know, that are designed, put there for our benefit. And he will use them against us. Another scripture the Lord's been bringing to mind is where he instructed Joshua to meditate on his word day and night so that he could have success in all his ways. What we become, what we behold, we become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why there's such a fight over the heart. Satan knows that if he can get our hearts dwelling on lies, we will, our external reality, our life, the house of our life, will become a reflection of what's going on in our heart. And we will reproduce what we believe. If he gets us meditating on fear day and night, on unbelief, on thoughts of defeat day and night, the opposite will happen. We won't have success in all our ways. We'll have failure in all our ways. So he comes to steal and kill and destroy, and his only weapon is deception. So he will take what's for our edification and strength and empowerment and growth and maturity, and he will use it against us. He will use what's designed for our strength and use it against us. And so part of what I felt tonight was that if we just respond to the word of the Lord as we want to, just do an inventory of your heart. Bring your heart to Jesus. Break agreement. If Holy Spirit highlights to you areas where you are stuck, where you're stuck in a lie, just come out of agreement. Where fear is plaguing you, come out of agreement. This is an opportunity to come and get right with the Lord, receive the new wine, receive washing, receive what's on offer, receive his heart. Get free from the bondage of the torment, of the lies of the enemy, because what's on offer is glorious and we are all called to it. We're called to it. We're called to be effective, governmental people. The Lord's coming back to inherit the nations, and we're called to steward them. Holy. And it starts with our hearts. The battle is won in the arena of our hearts. Satan can only land where he has agreement. Jesus will only move through us when he has agreement. It's so important. It's so important. The other scripture the Lord's been giving me is, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Our life is a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. No wonder Jesus wants to come and give us a new heart. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when our heart is fully filled with God, what the expression of that will look like externally? And we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are overcomers. Holy. People are sick of religion. They're sick, and I don't mean this in any negative or judgmental way. We're all doing the best we can with where we're at. But there's so much more. There's so much more. And all over the place, people are going, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And there is. And I think that hunger is what's drawing Jesus out of heaven. People are desperate for reality, not religion, not playing church, not just, sorry, I don't mean that in a rude way. I don't mean to imply that anybody intentionally plays church. They don't, but you know what I mean? It's just, there's so much more. There's so much more. We are the body of Christ. There's also another. The Lord's been talking to me about how he's breathing on the word now, where I've been experiencing this season where literally, and it's for the bride, where literally I'll read something in the scripture and there's absolutely no distance between me and that word. I literally just receive it as inheritance, as inheritance, as inheritance. And he's been talking to me about how he wants to release to us the promises in scripture, that they would incarnate in our lives and become our inheritance, then our legacy, and we then give that on into the bride. So whatever we becomes reality for us becomes the inheritance of the bride corporately as we give it away. And there's a lot of inheritance he wants to release to us now. He wants to reignite the promises in us and breathe on the word, on the Bible, as we read the promises in scripture. He's closing the reality gap between what we read in scripture and who we feel we are. He's closing it, that we would be people walking in the fullness of who we are in God, in our true identity, stewarding the word of God with full expectation and faith of those promises manifesting. It's like a power, like we're becoming the sword of the Spirit. Oh, Jesus. So I just want to give a few minutes, if there's anybody else, like if Lulu or Julie or others, or Andrea, because I know that you've got something in your spirit, if you just want to, or Julian, I know it was carrying something, if you just want to share, like briefly, so I'm just conscious of people's time. So if you can share what's in your spirit, and then we'll just have a little bit of worship, and then just come down to the front as you want, and just give your heart to the Lord, just respond as you feel to. And we'll just come along and we'll just pray for everybody. Just be together as family, but be real. This is I'm not suggesting you wouldn't be, but it's a really, really holy, and it's real. And we're family, and you're free. And we want you to go away touched and changed. So, do you have anything, Julie? Do you want to share anything, Lulu? I know Andrea does, don't you? Do you want to come up?
Oh, Lord, help me not to detract from what's been said, Father. At the outset tonight, the Lord said to me, you wanted to turn the water into wine. And it was like he was saying that he knows that some of us have just poured ourselves out, that we feel that there's nothing left. And he wants to come and give us a new wineskin and fill us afresh with new wine. But there's something about the process of doing that that I feel the Lord really wants to share tonight, because I feel he's desperate for us to make that transition, to step over into the new. And he's just given me some pictures that I believe he wants me to share to kind of facilitate that process. So the first thing I saw was that the bride was just asleep on his shoulder. And he just so tenderly and lovingly just picked her up and laid her on the floor. And he was going to do heart surgery, but it was like it was a private thing. I'll come back to it in a minute. It was a private thing. He wouldn't show me what he was doing, but I knew he was doing heart surgery. And then he showed me a picture of some of our hearts, and it was like they were like white felt, like material felt on a dark background, and they were kind of tacked round with like a dark thread. And he was saying that some of us, our hearts are, it's kind of, we've got the heart of the bride, it's like the white heart, but it's like it's still stuck to this bigger context, and it's the context of our history. It's the context of some of the things that we've walked through. It's the context of our mindset sometimes that have been shaped by things that the enemy has said or things the enemy's done. And it was like he was trying to pull off this heart, and some places the thread was like really short, and some places the thread was really long, and that was like when we've got a long history or a deeper attachment to some issues. And I felt the Lord was saying that it's like, it wasn't saying it was idolatry, but it's like we can have such a deep wound sometimes that it's almost as if it's taken the place of God in that area, that we haven't been able to get free from it. And And the picture, the other end, where he wants us to get to, was the picture of this heart that was, it's like as the heart surgery was over, the bride just jumped up and danced with him. But it was like she was a puppet on strings almost, because she wasn't coming from the head, it was from the heart. And she was totally flowing out of his heart. There was this connection there, that she was an expression of his heart, and her heart just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And she contained more and more of him. And then I saw that he was giving the bride this commission to see the hearts of individuals and see the hearts in situations or whatever sphere we're called to. And the heart was like a tapestry, like the picture that's on a tapestry before it's sewn, like an image. And it was the image about the bridal identity. And it was to do with the calling in that situation and the redemption. And it was like the fullness of the kingdom in that person and the circumstances, and he was going to give us eyes to see that. And then he was giving us like a he was showing me that for each one there's a particular heart print, like we'll have a unique fingerprint. He was saying each one's got a unique heart print that is a reflection of his heart, and it's like together they make up the corporate heart of the bride. But he was giving each one of us a needle, and it was a needle and thread. It was like to bring forth the picture, to like to call forth the true identity and the true redemption in people and in situations. And it was like it was this needle. I was thinking, Lord, that seems kind of really sharp and not loving. And he said, it's the sword of the Spirit that is so precise. It's so powerful. It's so accurate. But it brings forth the gold, and it's done in love. And it's like it's also about a thing about the piercing of his transgressions. It's like also the establishing the truth of that fellowship of his suffering. But then he was saying to me, actually, the heart surgery that I wasn't allowed to see was the kiss. It was a fresh kiss that he wants to give each one of us tonight, a fresh kiss to awaken us, to be able to say no to that history that's gone before, but to have the eyes of our hope, like the eyes of our hearts enlightened, to dare to believe in the hope of who he is and all that he's promised. And I just believe he wants us to give those situations to him afresh, to trust him with our history as we trust him with our future, and to allow ourselves to be caught up, to be caught up in the kiss afresh, to be caught up in that intimacy. And it's like, you know, we can be with each other in it, but actually we can't do it for each other. It's that one-to-one encounter that he wants to have with each person tonight. And I believe that's the bit that's going to enable that freedom, that transition to go from kind of being caught by those old threads into the freedom where we can just fly with him. But it's being willing to lay down those old mindsets and dare to believe that he is as good as he says he is, and to dare to believe that he does indeed want to transform us by the renewing of our minds. So Lord, I pray tonight, Father, for each one of us, that you would kiss us afresh. Kiss us afresh, Lord. We're desperate for your touch. We're desperate to have our hearts just completely transformed, to fall into your arms afresh, Lord, to be free from the old and to come into the new. We say we love you, Lord. Take us into the new, Lord. Take us into the fresh dance with you, Lord, the pace of intimacy, one-on-one. Thank you, Lord. That's your heart's desire for us as well, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Just come and respond, or sit in your seat if you prefer to do that, but just as we go back into a little bit of worship, just really talk to the Lord. We're here at the front. We'll pray with whoever wants to come down, or if you just want to sit there, just as you want to. Jesus, we just hand this time over to you again, Lord. Come and bring that kiss. Come and take out the thorn. Come and do the heart surgery. Come and have your way. Jesus, we adore you. You are the truth and the way and the life. You are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. You are the great I am. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are Prince of Peace. You are our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our strong tower. And we worship you. And we thank you for your beautiful presence with us. And we thank you for all that you've done in our hearts this evening, for all that you've released into us and through us to the wider body. And Jesus, we just invite you to stay with us as we go from here. Just keep ministering to us tonight, keep filling us with your heart, keep healing us, keep setting us free. Keep taking us deeper into the river of your love, into the river of truth. Keep awakening us. Keep filling us that we would live from heaven to earth. That we will be a mirror reflection of your beauty in the earth. Just as you decided with Father and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the earth that you were going to bring forth from your side your bride. Be in the dance with you forever. Thank you for the grace to live the first commandment first. And out of the overflow of your love to love others. So just keep coming. As we go from here, Lord, just stay with us. Preserve this place of intimacy in us. We love you, Lord. Amen. I just want to have one last thing said before we go. Julian, are you okay to share? I just really felt then that what you experienced, you're just supposed to release it over us as we go out, like into the, I don't want to say it because it's your word, so. And then after this, and then we'll, unfortunately we have to go. We need our own building for Revival Jesus. Oh, yes, you can do that in a sec if you like, darling. Yeah, yeah, just in, as we finish. We have to be out the building completely by 10:30, so after this we're going to have to go. But we're going to meet again, so you all know, on the 25th of April here. Just going to keep following what the Lord's telling us to do. So I'm just going to hand over to Julian and then say I love you and good night.
When I asked the Lord this morning where he was going to be today, he showed me the pumpkin carriage from Cinderella, and which was a surprise, and the door was open. And what he was saying was, I'm inviting you to get into the carriage and come to the ball and dance with me. And what that is going to involve is leaving behind the drudge and the, in some cases, literal physical housework and the stuff that we've been doing and how we perceive ourselves and how other people may perceive us, which is we're the people who do the sweeping or making the meals for the family, and we can perceive ourselves as if that's just who we are. And what the Lord was saying was, you're the wife of the king. And you may play that role occasionally of doing the housework and making the meals for people, but who you really are is the bride of the king. And the carriage door is open. And please accept my invitation to the ball. And and be who you really are. So I did that in my quiet time this morning and ended up dancing very inelegantly round our living room. And what happened was every time I tried to sit that back down, the Lord said, more, more, more. You know, like when a kid wants more all the time. And it was like, ugh. And in the end, I ended up putting the same song on for sort of 5 or 6 minutes and dancing around our living room 4 or 5 times in a row. And he kept on saying, more, more, more. And then when we came this evening, the worship band put on a song which has a line, Dancing Upon Injustice, which the Lord has got me to dance to many times. And as soon as that came on, it was like, oh, I'm going to have to dance again. So what he graciously did was, because the lights were out in the big church hall out there, I was able to slip out there and did a very elegant waltz round the church hall in the dark. And I felt that was partly the Lord being gracious to me, because I'd have died of embarrassment out the front, but partly because it was a picture of he'd actually invited us to a ball. And at the end of the evening, he'd actually got me to dance around a ballroom as he really wanted, not just in a living room, but in a ballroom. And I think that's the invitation that's been going on today.
Okay, I'll press pause for now. Thank you, Jesus.